The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Kelly, you and I, again, two ships in the night. I'm leaving for a while, and you're leaving after that? Is that what's happening? Or are you still here?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I have a wedding to attend down in Miami next weekend. So I will be out, next Thursday and Friday?
You're renting a tux.
I don't know who the duo is for next Thursday and Friday.
We'll see. We shall see.
Because you and I are rarely both out at the same time, actually.
Well, that's correct.
Or recently.
That is correct. Are you out for Bet Bash August 6th through the
9th? Yeah, I am. I'll be back that weekend.
Spanky's Bet Bash August 6th through the 9th here at Circa. I am honored to be moderating a panel on August 9th. Is August 9th a Friday? Whatever the Friday is, I will be moderating a panel that has to do with, it's called Learning the Game, How Do Legislators and Regulators New to Sports Betting Learn Who to Trust and Who to Bust? And on this panel will be Sean Flaherty, who's a West Virginia state legislator, Susan Hensel, who is a co-founder and partner of Grad PC, former director of licensing for the Pennsylvania Gaming Control Board, and Billy Walters.
Nice.
On the panel, legendary professional sports bettor, to give the betting side of things. And basically what the panel is going to be about is, where's the voice for the bettor? And we'll just roll the ball out for Billy, and I'm sure he'll have 15, 20 minutes of his own things to say. So I'm looking forward to that.
And that is that Friday.
That is that Friday, August 9th. So Bet Bash. This is number three, right? Bet Bash 3.
Yeah, I believe so. I think I've actually been on vacation randomly every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, like completely random. It's a wedding that I've got coming.
Listen, Bet Bash is great. Not only obviously the panels are great, but it's really known for, you know, like 3:30 in the morning watching Elihu Foistel teach the mathematics of craps to a random young lady. That kind of thing. Ladies and gentlemen, Unscripted with the Crack Man, Bill Krakenberger. And when I say a random young lady, I mean he's really explaining the math. There's nothing nefarious happening. He's just explaining the odds.
How you guys doing? So you guys are going away now? Where are you going, Gil, next week?
I don't know.
Oh.
TBD.
Oh, no, I thought you said you guys were both doing something. You're going to Miami?
Yeah, he's out. He just doesn't know where yet. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think...
We can go to Miami, Charlie.
I think
see
Hawaii.
If anyone knows where that's from.
What was this quote?
We can go to Miami, Charlie.
What's that from?
Pope of Greenwich Village.
Oh, all right.
one of my movies.
Rando.
Yeah.
Okay.
What? But you're going on vacation. You don't know where you're going yet. I'm saying you're going to Miami. You don't know where you're going yet.
I think I know where I'm going.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
All right. So I won't be here.
He will not be here next week.
Everyone else is scared to have me on.
Oh no.
No. Guys, I put up a tweet last night. I retweeted something about, of course, it's our tipping area, but this is such a hot area. It got 161,000 views already in the last 12 hours. I want to know. It happened the other day. I don't know if you guys know this. Someone put $5 up at the Venetian.
Oh, I got that tweet.
Five little bucks.
Yeah.
And
someone texted this to me.
He won $2.2 million.
Yeah.
So you got $2.2 million. It's a bonus bet on. And by the way, think about getting dealt. Now, there is a joker involved. I don't know. Pai Gal's one joker? It's one joker, I think.
I don't know Pai Gal, Bill.
Yeah, it's one joker. Seven cards.
I did see this. One of them.
And you get dealt a straight flush with the joker.
One of them was a joker, yeah.
So
there it is on the screen.
Oh, it is. Oh, there. Yeah. Oh, wow.
It's from Las Vegas locally.
Yes, Las Vegas. I retweeted it, of course, and I put my own spin on it. What do you tip on this? I would have to say I would give a decent tip for the dealers to split. You know, they say 1% to 2%. I'm probably going to go with a 2%. But more importantly, the dealers that were there, if I like them, I'm tipping them on the outside.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to give them something because, you know, 2%, let's just call it 40 grand. I'll round it down. 40 grand split up amongst all the dealers is probably a grocery dollar or two each in their paycheck. Believe it or not. Maybe $5. Maybe. Whereas outside, obviously, that's money in their pocket. So I tweeted that out and got a various responses from
a
lot of people
sure
saying
you did.
A lot of people saying, why do you tip? You give them $100. What's the big deal? They're only going to get a couple dollars anyway.
I will not name who said this to me, but the person who sent it to me said, find someone to love you as much as Bill Krakenberger loves tipping. They said.
Oh. No, and I'm not saying, listen,
a really tough example.
This is really difficult.
Because, Bill, I don't know Pi Gal well, but this is a $5 side bet.
Yeah.
What do we think this person sat down at the table with? $1,000?
No, less.
Not even.
Less.
So think about the idea of sitting down at the table with $500, $600, $700, and then you're going to tip out $40,000 afterwards.
Because you're winning $2.2 million.
Okay,
pile the money in front of you on the table. Now, granted, that's before taxes, too.
Okay, Bill, but yes, I'll take the Kelly position as well, if I may be so bold as to say it's the Kelly position.
You could join the ship.
Yeah. It is, okay. You just won $2.2 million in a spur-of-the-moment nonsense bet, right?
Yep.
You then want to give, what was your percentage, 2%, you said?
If you Google 2%. Anything, 1% to 2% is the number, yeah.
$40,000, I assume you'll give it to the pit boss to distribute, or how would you do that?
No, you put it around the table for the dealer, and the dealer puts it down.
First of all, can you trust that to be distributed as you're saying it should be? I don't know that you can.
There's a lot of cynical things. I'm cynical to begin with.
I don't know that you can trust that. And then it is, let's just think. Let's take our brains out of our very myopic Las Vegas mindset, right? We're Las Vegas people. A million here. Oh, I want a million here. Oh, we're going to tip 2% of that. Let's go into the real world for a second, right?
Okay.
Let's take a flight to anywhere USA.
Right.
And now you're actually holding that cash in your hand, and you're like, okay, let me break off 40 large. Think about what you're doing, right?
The way Gil says it.
Yeah.
Break off. It's all gang war. Let me break you off 40. Break the kid off 40 large.
You're breaking off someone's annual salary.
This could be half this guy's annual salary.
Half. Yeah. I mean, it could be more, right? So I guess I understand that side of the argument.
Right. Yeah. You know what? And your person who told you that, I don't want to come off like I'm an overly crazy tipper. I live in a tipping town, and I lived on tips my whole life. I've worked a lot of these positions that get tips their whole life, especially as a young teen into my early 20s. I worked on tips, so I know what it is, and I know what it is to be in the,
But you said it right there. You live in a tipping town. Most people, now maybe those that are listening to this show know better, but most people, right? I'll use my buddy Tommy as just a sort of generic example. My buddy Tommy in D.C., 30 years betting sports the same way he's bet from day one, which is, what are you betting on? Can I throw 100 in on there with you? Like, he has, right? He's that guy. He would not know the tipping culture, right?
Yes.
And he's been
here. I bet you most won't.
And he's been here a billion times. By the way, this is, again, using the word myopic, this is a Las Vegas thing. It is not a world thing. Again, I was in Korea last year. They view tipping as an insult. Okay? So Las Vegas is its own thing. This is not the rule of the world.
Yeah.
Nor is it the rule of the country. It is a rule that those of us who have been here, because there's a lot of folks like you who believe, no, you must do that. And if you don't do that, you're an all. That's the thing that bothers people. If you don't do that, you must be an awful person. And most people are not awful people.
No.
They don't know they're supposed to do that.
Oh, no, I agree with you. And especially Europeans and stuff. The World Series of Poker was here. Waitresses complaining, they're not getting tipped from because they're not used to tipping. It's not their culture. Yeah. So I do understand, and I'm not trying to say you're a bad person if you don't do it. Maybe you don't know it. And a lot more would not know, you're right, the percentage-wise.
Yeah.
They give them a couple $100 than would. And let me tell you something. If I don't like the dealers, they're getting nothing.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah,
okay.
If I don't like the dealers, they're getting nothing.
Okay.
Absolutely. They may get individual Walmart gift cards. I may go out and buy 5,000 worth and give them to the people I like. Well, like I do on Christmas time anyway, I get $1,000.
Because I've said this before, I'll bring it to sports betting. I have heard from not one, but two different contest winners, people that we know, right?
Who?
Who have decided, I'm sure they text a lot of people, not just me, but I've gotten texts from them, where they're like, what do I do?
Right.
The most anxiety, like they've gone through a whole season where they're weighing every single pick. Well, if I pick this and my competition does, like they've gone through a whole football season. They come out on the top of the mountaintop, and then their biggest anxiety, I don't want to say their biggest, but it's close, it comes afterwards when they're like, what am I supposed to tip? And I know at least one of them, their relationship with the place that gave them that big pile of cash for winning the contest has forever been hampered because of this. They view him as a bad person, and yes. trust me, yes. he is not a bad person.
We have to deal with the casinos every day. Guys like me, you, Kelly, and we have to deal with them every day. So if you win $1 million in the circuit contest, you're telling me you have to give a tip based on that, where someone comes from out of town, they're going to see them once a year. Maybe they feel that they don't have to give them a tip. I have to show face every day. But there's a couple tellers in this town I do not like. Do you think you're going to be tipping Planet Hollywood tellers maybe if you don't like them, if you win $1 million bucks? I'm just saying.
You mean the guy that calls security on
yes.
me? Yeah, I'm sure.
Right, there you go.
This is Steve Fezzik. You better tip $20,000 at least or zero. He says, because if you tip something like $1,000, rightly or wrongly, many casino workers will actually be massively offended. By example, when I play black chips in 21 dealers, he voices his text. It's yep. impossible to understand. Yep. Have acted massively offended when I tip $5.
Right.
Well, yeah, $5 is
you see the nothing? Because the nothing, you could play Nicky the Dunce.
That's correct.
Yeah, you could just like,
Nicky the Dunce.
Yeah.
I'm Nicky.
Yeah.
I just think this specifically is a really, really tough example. Of what?
Because
you're talking about such a small bet in winning so much.
Is it the small bet or is it the speed at which you won it? And you're like, oh, $5. It just happened. Right?
No, it's a small bet to me.
It's not winning a super contest, for instance.
And the guy only won it for $300, by the way, I heard. So.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting.
It'll always be the great debate, man.
You broke it down well. Mindset, man.
Great debate. Crackman, at Bill Crackman with a K. More with Bill Krakenberger. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The VSiN NFL Betting Guide is out now, and our all-new college football guide drops August 1st, 6 days away. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get all the tools to prep for the college and NFL seasons. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats, trends, and power ratings. Plus, best bets on futures and season win totals. Sign up before the end of July and receive both guides and full VSiN Pro access to our daily pro picks, 24/7 video, and exclusive data like our betting splits all the way through the Super Bowl for an early bird discount price of just $175. The football special discount price expires on July 31st, so don't wait. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Best listeners in the game, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Jimmy Lopez, rumor is someone at Sigma Derby got their fenced cleaned over the weekend. No, fence painted was the
fence
loop.
Painted, yes.
Fence painted and porcelain beak.
Porcelain beak.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to think, was that like a Karate Kid reference or something, but no.
Oh, no. You looked it up? Yeah.
No, I didn't look it up.
Just Apollo Vison, it's our friend Bob. He says, would you agree that it's easier for one team to matriculate if they can get the opposing team to capitulate? I would. Jesse Welch, Gil Alexander greater than Richard Jefferson, he said. Generally chest stuff. Oh, Mark Descartes, he says, we have a tennis pick. Marozan, he says on the picks page, is playing... Marozan, I think he said, according to his brother. No, he's actually playing Andre Rublev as a big dog, +189. That is a bet that we have on the VSiN.com/picks page. All the tennis picks the night before. Every host, every guest, every sport, VSiN.com/picks for Survivor. So, yes, I am on Fabian Marozan against Andre Rublev as a big dog here coming up. That's one of the picks. Here's one. 3Jack, H3131, Gil, do you know of or planning to host a podcast on survivor strategies? And just so Kelly feels better, I also keep a running list of bets I need to make. Have a great day, gentlemen. It's not just you. We'll do a whole survivor thing here on the show. I don't know about a podcast, but we might.
I worked my list down today. Got that Coco first fourth quarter bet in.
Yeah.
Canada laying 7 against Greece on Saturday.
Look at you. Okay.
I'm getting involved. Canada versus the Fighting Giannises.
Fighting Giannis's. I'm sure his teammates are great.
sure they're great people.
Master of Puppets, just a flat... Okay, talking about the tipping now, Billy.
Okay.
Master of Puppets, just a flat $10,000 to the dealer. That dealt is my thoughts.
That might be a good number.
That might be a good number. That feels like the right.
Yeah, that might
I
be a good number.
I think that's what I would do.
I think that's exactly what I would do, too. But
that's a good number.
Any more than that, you know how I know any more of that is not real life stuff? Because if you have a wife or a girlfriend, and if you were to tell them that you gave them $40,000,
you're in
big trouble, boy.
Yeah.
Auburnist. I like Auburnist. Hit a slot for $5,000 last year and had no idea about tipping the attendant. Went back to the casino the next month and found the guy and tipped him after friends told me about the fact that I should have. First time I had hit a hand pay, so I had no clue.
Yeah, that's a good. And
that's
you know what
I'm talking about.
And you know, people saying that I'm talking about tipping and over tipping. I wish the casinos would pay the slot attendants more, so they wouldn't depend on making a nice living off of me. I do like tipping, but they have to split it. And, you know, and most attendants are very nice, but I like to tip individually. I like to tip individual stuff. You know, speaking of which, there are 6 casinos in this town. I don't know if you guys know this, that if that happened, that dealer does not have to split the tips. They keep their own tip at the table. Stratosphere. OEO? Is that what it's called? OEO? Mm. OEO.
I think it's what it's called.
Yep. Tuscany. Ellis Island.
OEO?
OEO.
I thought OEO.
OYO. Yeah, the one, the old Hooters.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah.
He said OEO.
OEO.
It's OEO.
Oh, OEO.
Yeah. All right, what
OEO. OEO.
So the Strat, Tuscany, Ellis Island, OEO, Silverton, Binion's. They keep their own tips. Table for table, they're at the table. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
They keep their own tips. That 10,000 would be a shot in the arm.
I agree with Kelly. Do you win 2.2? If I give 10,000, I don't care what they think about me after that. Like, they just gave me $10,000. Auburnist says, how would I get? He says, first time I hit, how would I know?
Yeah.
Chris Hartman.
I mean, Auburnist, great on you for actually going back and finding
awesome. Yeah. Chris Hartman. Gil, does crack tip on the pre or post-tax number?
That's what who just asked? Chris?
Chris Hartman.
No, I'm saying Chris Felica just asked that, too.
Well, because you started talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? Probably not thinking right away and being spontaneous right after the hand. I just throw the tip up
pre,
there.
Pre.
The right number, though, is supposed to be after tax, probably.
Right, but no one's doing that.
But no one's doing that. Yeah. Yeah.
So as I was saying during the break, Gil, if anybody remembers the great Dumb and Dumber scene where they're unloading all the stuff they just bought, I could say whatever I want here. I'm sure in the moment after winning $2 million, I'd be like, here you go, here you go, here you go.
Right, right.
But that guy over there you go.
Here you go. This is from Paul Medina. Hey, Gil, we will be going to Vegas in October having dinner at the Italian-American Club. Can you ask Crack to recommend a couple of his favorite dishes?
Oh, yeah, sure. They have – I think they have the best veal parmesan in the city. But they also make, ooh, like these – I can't think of the name of the – it's a chicken dish. It's got like a salad. Come on, man. What kind of an Italian am I? It's got a salad on top of
chicken parmesan.
No, it's not parmesan. It's no red sauce. It's got like – you put like – lemon on it, and then of course there's like, I don't know if it's radicchio, so there's some kind of a thing on top. But anyway, and also get the beans and greens, which was actually known as peasant food years ago for the poor. I mean, literally. Now it's an in-demand food. It's so beans and greens, and of course you want to sit. Listen, people don't notice about Italian American Club. If you want to talk and converse during the meal, you do not want to sit anywhere near the entertainer who's always up there. Great, great entertainment they have every night. You want to sit in one of the further rooms away where you can hear your guest or talk. So if you're there to have fun, drink, party, laugh, scream, yell, you know, dance with the guys, and there's people that dance up there, believe it or not, by the stage. There's a little small stage. You want to sit there. If not, I like sitting away and then going up and that's a place you have to take care of it. There's a guy outside that watches the door, watches your car, because it's not in the best area.
You and I know. There is literally a guy at the Italian-American Club. The first time you go there,
I've never been.
The first time you go there, you see this dude and you're like, is this guy like going to jack my
car?
He's
shaking people down?
Like, you don't know who he is, and then you figure it out. He's there, case, you know, just protecting.
He's just protecting the parking lot, opens the door, holds the door for you, and I always throw him, you know, 5 or 10, and he's happy as can be, and he'll watch your car. But then there's a major D, and then there's the guy that's playing the piano.
But you're also the guy that will not let people pay for a meal either, which, like, one day,
I let someone pay last week.
One day I'm going to knock you down, and I'm going to pay.
Yeah. No, I mean,
this is Grant betting X Factors. I always tell the dealer if we hit the big bonus bet, we're going to Hawaii, and they can bring their family.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
That. The hypothetical, I like that, where you're like, hey, you can come to Hawaii with me and see if they take you up on it.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah,
this is from Nasty Neil, Neil Galbraith. He says, hypothetical question for Bill. If you want $100,000, pick your amount, he says, when making a random visit to a state. Oh, this is good. Are you returning to that state to tip? Are you getting their PayPal in case you win to send money?
Wow. That's a really nasty, nasty thing, Neil. No, no, that is an interesting subject. So if you're in a state, yeah, I like that, though. So you get their own information and tip them personally. It's kind of along the lines of what I said, tipping them outside the casino. Very good. Very good.
Okay, before you get to your topic, can I give this one?
I have no topics. Go ahead.
No, you said you have a robbery one, right?
Oh, the robbery. Yeah,
yeah. We'll get to that after the break.
Things I talk about, tipping and robberies. Go ahead.
We got a robbery thing coming up. Oh, this one, that was in Prim, right?
Yep.
Okay, we'll get to that. This is also from Jimmy Lopez. He says, does the crackman have any thoughts on the cheating computer scandal at the World Series of Poker Final Table with the winner running simulations between hands?
Oh, yeah, I seen that. I heard about that. And he was running to his friends and seeing what they, you know, I guess that they're, what they're, the range of hands they were holding or something, or what they did in situational things. It's cheating, isn't it? Maybe I don't understand it more. I thought it was cheating. Daniel Negreanu just did a whole thing on it yesterday. I didn't listen to it. It sounds like it's, you know, giving them players an edge that are playing in the game. If you know what someone else did in a previous hand when you made a certain bet or something, if they folded, will that work again? Because you're knowing what they did on video, that sounds like they're cheating. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I probably shouldn't comment not knowing the full scope of it, but it sounds like it is. I'd be shocked if the World Series ever allowed that, something like that again.
Again, that's my point. So if there weren't rules on the books, then technically he's not cheating, right? But yes, to your point, I would imagine they'll never let that happen again, and it's certainly against the spirit of the whole thing, right?
Like, yeah.
I mean, that's for sure.
With the guy that runs the World Series of Poker, he's a clown. So with him, I'm sure anything can happen. So there's a little shot at him. I can't think of his name right now, but he's not a favorite of mine. So I can't believe that they wouldn't fire him.
But yeah, that's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous that they would do something.
I don't
know
the details of the story either, so I don't want to go out. But like any outside assistance, if that's what's being talked about, I mean that would be against the rules completely. And if that's
it sounds so obvious that we have to be wrong.
So he gets up from the chair, consults, and comes back.
Yes.
Oh, come on.
On the breaks.
Yeah, I mean, like that. There's not much of a difference then between what he's doing and being like, yo, I got pocket eights. What should I do here? Like that's. It's the same thing. Outside assistance is outside assistance.
It does sound like it. It really does.
All right. Well, we'll come back with your robbery story in Prim.
Yeah.
All right.
We always root for the bad guy. Why? Oh.
Yeah.
I root for the guy away.
Maybe because we got a little gamble in us all. Bill Krakenberger, ladies and gentlemen. At Bill Crackman with a K on Twitter. Wise Cracks, the name of the podcast, which he does with John Orlando. Tony Orlando's son. Does John like being called Tony Orlando's son?
Sure, absolutely. Okay. Trades on it.
Crack, coming back on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live at Bar Canada at the Day here in downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, Numbers Game, Bill Krakenberger with us, at Bill Crackman with a K. Wisecracks, the name of the podcast. We get not only tweets, but we also get texts from people we know in the industry. Tim Lawson from the Better's Life. He says, or the Better Life, he says, 10,000 to the dealer in the example, 10,000 to the dealer, and then another 5K in tips around the casino after dinner, drinks, etc.
But they're still going to split that in the most case anyway. So, like the 15,000 you could just give anyway. But I understand it makes everyone feel good when they get thrown $100 around. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool.
The Better Life, of course, the name of Tim's great podcast.
Oh yeah, he's a good guy.
Because there are spots like I've got. Like, there's a couple bartenders in town. Like, I've tipped out after hitting on a table way far away from where they're working because I just like people.
You're a good guy, Kelly Bidlin.
I think that's kind of what Tim's talking about, though.
Do you go to bars and play video poker at the bar?
Yeah. So, like, some of those guys that have been there while I'm playing, right, I'll tip out while I'm playing video poker, but maybe I'm playing blackjack or something. I'll still swing by.
That's really nice of you because most of the bars have – terrible pay schedules. Mm-hmm. So for you to, you know, but if you know the bartender there, you tip him out, and you'll probably tip a little bit more because you're used to the bartender.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah, you like him.
Michael Montesano, who won the Circa Millions booby prize the first year, $100,000. He says, wait, so Fez just said that people would be insulted if they're tipped too little? So zero is better than 10,000 or whatever he dipped anything?
That's what Fez meant.
He said, what world do we live in, LOL? But he goes, for the record, I did tip Maddie and Tony my proxies when I won the 100K. It was my personal choice. No one told me I had to or not, and it doesn't make me a better person for having done it.
That's a whole different subject.
He said that is a whole different. He goes, by the way, if I won a million, I would not. So in other words, on his 100,000, he gave him 3K. He goes, if he won a million, he would not give them 30K. And I'm with him on that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I agree with that.
I get it.
I think there's something to that.
I get it.
Like when that guy said, you saying he sat down at the table, $300.
Yeah.
Like that. I just think it's tough for a lot of people to get to 40K then.
Our buddy Chris Felica, the bear.
Yep.
He felt obligated to tip the young lady who punched his tickets at the D last week. There weren't many of them, but the manager behind the counter knew who I was, and we were talking. So I was like, I don't want to be that guy to look like a jerk. I mean, I didn't tip much, but I'm so worried about being seen as a bad guy. If I don't, in the end, it's not that much, not the end of the world for me. But what he just said is it resonates, which is...
He was only betting, though. He wasn't cashing.
I think he was cashing some.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, whereas like, that's what we were saying off air, which is the people who aren't tipping what the Vegas people, quote unquote, think you ought to be tipping, they immediately make a character assessment of you, right? And you're like, oh, man, you have no idea, like, what you're talking about.
Because
most people don't know.
Yeah.
You know, anyway. Yeah,
but guys like us, it'll get around. Oh, that Gil Alexander, that Bill Krakenberger.
Worst person ever.
And, you know, it gets around.
Trust me, they'll lie about you anyway, Bill.
It's all misplaced rage anyway, being behind the counter dealing with people. It's a tough job. Oh, my God. Imagine being a horse race writer at, like, the South Point dealing with a horse race player. They have a horse race side, just horse race.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. They blame you for anything. Don't tell me good luck. You know, you hand the tickets back to the guy.
Don't tell me good luck.
And you say good luck to the guy. Don't you dare tell me good luck. That's bad luck. What?
See, that's the other thing. Like these
what
things,
are you talking about?
The Vegas type who thinks these are legitimate laws of the land. What about the $50 bills? Don't give me a 50.
You know, and it's funny. In a gambling establishment, they'll tell you, they'll say to you a lot, would you like it to kind of give you a 50? They know.
Someone asked me.
They know to ask you rather than just hand you a 50. Yeah. So Chris was only betting. And when I only bet sometimes, like I'll do, I was at Foxwoods at the DK, and I made a ton of bets. Yeah, I'd throw them $20 because, you know, I just tied up the counter and they book horses there. So
what's your prim robbery thing?
I thought, like, I just figured everyone knew. I don't know. It's like it was like a story on the news. But however, you know what? Someone else I talked to about this the other day did not know. So you're right. You know what it is? When these type of things happen, the press really doesn't want the casinos don't want you to know that someone jumped behind the cage and stole money.
Yeah.
You know. Well, this was Prim Valley Resorts. And I just read this story again, a follow-up to the story. So Prim Valley Resorts, which is, by the way, they closed all the tables there. How did this husband and wife couple know that there was going to be a good amount of money in the cage at a casino that the tables are closed, but yet they go behind the counter and they slip in for an hour they were there.
An hour.
Yeah, I'm reading this right now. It's
not
incredible.
Being seen for an hour. And... They go and they're not seen for an hour and steal. And the only reason why they got noticed, by the way, is because she left the drawers open.
Yeah.
And some change spilled out
on the floor.
The coins on the floor. They were like, well, what is that? And I mean, they could have been there all day, could have had lunch. So they were there.
She left the drawers.
Yes.
Got into the casino's cage area through a small hole in the cage.
As a matter of fact, she was so small, and it says here, I'm just saying, she's a very small Asian woman, she was. She was so small, she fit through this cage.
That's incredible.
And it's almost like, what was that, Ocean's 11. Remember the little guy in Ocean's 11, right?
Kelly's thinking, a crime I could not commit.
I know. Kelly and I.
Like, do you deserve it then? Like, if you're building your cage with the bars too wide, like, you know, if we're going to throw someone in prison, and the prison bars are too wide?
Right.
How did you escape? I walked out.
I walked out.
$650,000 in cash. For some reason, they stole $27,000 in table game chips, which they could never cash in. But these weren't.
Look at that.
These were real geniuses anyway. There's only one way in and one way out. Route 15. So they. And by the way, let's drive our own car. This is the gang that couldn't rob straight. They drive their own car where there's cameras outside everywhere, and they took their own car, and of course they were caught a couple days later. But it just, I was just like, wow. They, like, how can you not have a better plan? But by the way, everything was recovered days later except for $300 of the $650,000. But how can you not have a better plan than to and another thing. How can this casino have that much cash on hand? Literally, there's one slot attendant in the whole building. It's not an active casino. It sounds like something. Now, it doesn't say it in the article, though. It sounds like a little inside something going on here.
Here's my question. So we've been here long enough. We've heard all kinds of variations of this story. How often, without actually knowing the stats, would you agree that this happens way more than we would have possibly
way
guessed
more.
It does?
Major casinos, by the way.
Major casinos, and that they get further away than we'd imagine they could get with it, right? Your impression is, oh, my God, if someone did something that brazen in a major strip casino, this is not a strip casino, but in the cases that it was, someone could never get away with it. They couldn't possibly even get off the property, and yet they do.
Bellagio.
Yes.
Listen, people don't want to talk about this one. The Bellagio. Guy comes in, motorcycle helmet, comes in, goes to the table, robs chips. They never find him. He comes back again.
Came back.
Again. Like 6 months later.
I don't know if you know this, Kelly, but burglary 101 always returned to the scene of the crime.
His luck ran out and literally really ran out because not only did he get caught, there was just so happens there was two bike cops outside in the North Valley. So now he gets out. He comes out the building. He's going to rob it again. He's got his little motorcycle ready and someone yells, "Cops, he just stole," and the guy like gets killed. They shot him and killed.
They shot him and killed.
Shot him and killed him. So, yeah, I think it was a judge's son too, if I remember. It was like a famous judge's,
judge's son.
But yeah, and then of course we know about this. The Hilton was robbed. Back when it was the Hilton, or a couple times, and maybe even the Westgate, it might have been, and yeah, that was robbed a couple times too. And they were talked about, but not. You don't understand, our media is controlled, except for a numbers game, is controlled by the casinos. They control the newspaper and most of the TV stations and stuff. If something big happens, it's going to be reported. But, small little robbery, couple million, let's not talk about that. So, it happens. People get crazy ideas. And this was so crazy that... husband and wife and under cameras, under, their own car. So I just thought it was an interesting subject matter.
Yeah.
The part I haven't been able to stop focusing on.
Oh, you're reading it. Okay.
Was the bit you dropped, Bill, about $300?
Yes.
So you're brazen enough to go out and pull off something like this? And you don't go spend any cash.
And it was like 4 days before they got caught.
Right.
Yeah. Wait, what was the $300 part again?
Everything was recovered except for $300.
Yeah.
So you had multiple days to spend money, and you didn't do anything.
Also, you're right. The chips part is bizarre.
Chips part.
While we're at it, let's take these chips for later cashing. When we return,
we'll come back.
When we return to the scene of the crime.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing when you read these things, and sometimes there's not thought. But by the way, the Bellagio one was all chips. It was no cash. It was all chips. And he was going around trying to sell the chips to high-limit poker players. And he's like, "Oh, here's a $5,000 chip. Give me $4,000. You know, like he was trying to sell them 80%. And
I told you about the one at the Wynn where a dealer was, like, pocketing. And they knew that he stole it, but they couldn't figure out how he got it out of the casino.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And then they realized, oh, he went to the sports book and lost it.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. People are allowed to gamble in their own casino. Yeah.
Yeah. But, the sports book ought to have been more savvy about this. How is this dealer here at this casino betting all this money on sports?
With chips every time.
Yeah, exactly. We'll come back. Bill Krakenberger on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget to check out our website, vsin.com. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides. On the front page, Zach Cohen with his Paris Olympics tennis odds and picks. We went over the draw earlier on the show. Again, Michael Lombardi, biggest question facing each NFC team. Mike Somich, creating your own NFL power ratings for handicapping. That's awesome that Somich is talking about that on there.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Burke, of course, prominently featured with all of his NFL and MLB thoughts of the day as well. It's all at vsin.com. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, and of course the crack man, Bill Krakenberger, who hangs with us every Thursday here in the 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific hour. We were talking about you earlier today on the show, how you're here no matter what, Bill.
Oh.
And Kelly quipped. What was your quip, Kelly? You remember your quip?
No, we pay him enough.
I said, I said, whatever you're getting paid, it's just a phenomenal record, is what we're saying.
Well, now that DraftKings is out of here, let's get this Bill a D on the horn. Yeah.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Chris Heath, I had a feeling the crack man tipped the door guy over there at Italian American Club. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to get the door guy something.
John Trumbetti, the entree Bill was referencing was chicken Milanese.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that. That's exactly it. Great, great entree over there.
Chicken Milanese. This is from MY.02. He says, in a perfect world, slot attendants should keep tips. However, the penny slot players would be waiting forever for just a paper fill. We tried it once, and our slot attendants turned into, quote, jackpot jumpers, unquote, hovering around high limit.
He's right.
Stringfellow Hawk. How often do you tip before service to ensure promptness? Oh, there's
I do that sometimes.
Do you really?
Yes. Yes, I do. I think it's great to do at restaurants, believe it or not. I know it sounds crazy. Tip your waiter ahead of time. But if, you know, you're giving them 25% ahead of time, maybe they'll, you know, just make sure you're refilling my Diet Coke.
Yeah, I used to do the cab line thing before rideshare.
Yeah.
When there was, like, a major line for the taxis, I just roll up to the front and be like, if I give you this 20, will I get to the front? He goes, absolutely.
It is so absurd how often that still works in this town.
It's incredible.
And then cocktail waitresses, yeah, absolutely. If I'm sitting at the table or something like that, it's, first drink, here's a little extra for the tip.
Okay.
I'm going to be here for a while.
Here's my final subject on tipping. You just hit it. So I was at one of the Bucket of Bloods over here the other day.
Bucket of Bloods.
Four Queens. They had a promotion, so I was playing in there. And what a brazen cocktail waitress. So my friend and I.
I didn't know where that was going.
My friend and I are in there, and we're playing video poker, and they have a really good machine there, good promotion. And the girl comes over. We ordered drinks. We ordered two bottles of water and a coffee between us two. So I give her $6. He walks away to the bathroom. I give her $6 for the three drinks. She puts my two drinks down here and puts his coffee over there and was actually turned to me and said, is he going to tip me?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Gosh.
I thought that was the most brazen thing I've ever seen.
Oh, my God.
I mean, $2 a drink. I know it's like, you know, that's what I give $6 for three drinks. And I said, well, I just gave you $6. She goes, okay. And walked away like you know, a little bit of a dunce. But, like, is he going to tip me? I've never heard a waitress say anything like that. Is he going to tip me? That's exactly what she said.
We got more. By the way, Felica says he was just betting. He wasn't catching. Matthew Livingston, World Series of Poker actually had it in their in their TOS that solvers, etc., were against the rules. But he consulted the rail and ran solvers, and World Series of Poker did not enforce said rules at the final table. Most people assume they were just watching the stream. Changes will be made next year. They've got to be made.
Definitely.
Todd Chrysostomo. At an MGM property, there was a host invite blackjack tournament. At the final table, one guy says, let's split it, and I'll pay the taxes. They all agree. He goes to the cage to cash out and splits the casino with the cash. Nothing the casino could do. Splits the casino with
left,
the cash.
Yeah.
Left.
Wow.
That sounded like he split it right. No,
right,
he's
right,
left.
Right. Yeah.
Wow. This is a great question. And we should have asked this about the tipping earlier. And I think this is wonderful. From Brian M. I may have missed this, but what are Bill's thoughts on tipping based on how you're running? Yes. This is always the gambling conundrum. He says, if you go to Vegas with $10,000, you're down $9,000, and then you hit for $15,000. Would you tip on the post-tax $10,000, or would you factor in you're basically even?
It's a great question.
Great
Kelly and I were just talking about during the break about tip, about what do you tip. Let's say you're down $1,000 and you get the $1,000 back playing. Now you're even. Is the only winner going to be the slot attendant? And guess what? I've walked out of casino saying to myself, the only winner was the slot attendant.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, I've hit a $4,000 royal and, you know, I was down $1,500 or $2,500 and lost back to right, whatever it may be. And, yeah, you're supposed to tip, based on that win. But, you know.
You know what the macro version of that is?
Yeah.
Is that in tax code in some states.
Right.
You got to tell us all about your winnings, but your losses don't matter.
Yeah.
Like some have that in their tax code. They had to change it. Our buddy who's on my panel, Sean, had to change it in West Virginia single-handedly.
Yes. No, you're right. I when I do my taxes at the end of the year, I file an extension. And, yeah, there's a large, you know, looks like it puts me in a different tax bracket because I hit so many jackpots. But I have to write most of them off if I'm having a losing year. And it gets to be a hairy situation. Yeah, Gil.
Manny Davison, Kelly's UFC strategy is a go-to for me. Go to the VSiN picks page, put everything in the bet slip, take out the contradicting picks, and play the rest. Basically an ATM machine. There you go. Shout out to all our UFC people. Johnny Vegas. First time I'm in Survivor and Circa Millions this year. My friend lives in Vegas, is putting my picks in. Told her I would give her 10% of any winnings. If I take one down, what is 600K or $1 million at my age? I'm 51. I'd be glad to give it to her. 51.
I like that guy. I like that guy.
I thought he was going to say, I'm 81. He's like, I'm 51. I'm 50.
No, I like that guy.
50 years old. Trip Tepper. Did the Bellagio ever catch the Pig Man? The Pigman.
Wow, he's right. The Pigman, which was by the north entrance also. Yeah, that would see. We don't know. Yeah. We don't know. Good question.
Jesse Nix, check out the High Roller Heist podcast. It's the story of the Bellagio heist. Thank you for that recommendation. Keno Walker, also great to tip cops for arresting a dumb criminal. I'll take out his language. Get these people off the streets. They're making it bad for the real ones.
Keno, my man.
Yeah.
I got something for you.
Yes, sir. Oh, here we go. Here we go, Kelly. It's our favorite topic.
Now, these are 75 cents, 57 cents, 54 cents, 67 cents.
Cash vouchers.
I refuse.
Bill takes them around for tipping.
I refuse.
There you go.
I refuse to give these to the charity because I don't trust you're giving them to the charity. I don't trust your accounting when the machine says, do you want to give this change to the charity? No, I don't trust you, so I'm not going to do that. So my thing is, it just came out yesterday. What do you think these, you know, and by the way, what we're talking about, people, is when you cash out of a machine, you know, $28.18, it won't give you the 18 cents. They say it's a coin shortage. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Coin shortage. Yeah. So that now that's what they tell you, and it's all a scam. It's all about making the money, and the number came out. I didn't know they were going to make it public. The number for the year in Las Vegas came out. $24.4 million last year of unclaimed vouchers.
Oh, my God.
$24.4 million. I didn't know this. The casino only gets set. I didn't know this until yesterday.
Kelly, our buddy had, like, what, $10 million of that? You think he could keep
really?
$24.4 million
last year. And of the $24.4 million, I didn't realize this. The state gets 75%, and the casino only gets 25%. I did not know that. I thought the casino got it all.
Wait, of what?
Of the money, of that 24.
Wait, the state gets how much?
State gets 75% of these tickets that are unclaimed.
Everybody's been to an ATM machine in their lives where they've walked up to withdraw
Vegas.
Money, and then in Vegas, right? Correct.
Yes.
In Vegas, yeah. Not anywhere else. And you walk up, and there's and someone's abandoned their voucher because it's right. It's like, 87 cents, whatever. But you're saying take however many million of those, and it adds up to 24 million.
24.4 million last year alone here. And I'll just tell you, you know, it's not about being cheap and getting there. I'm just not going to give that money to the state and the casino cumulatively. I play a lot of video poker and stuff, so I'm not going to do that. It's not about being cheap at all. I just, when I see these numbers, listen, what changed? What happened to the change? Did people start saving the change after COVID? I mean, before COVID? I don't understand what happened. Why is there coin? Let me tell you why there's coin shortages. Because it's real simple. The casinos now don't have the hard counts where they have bags of coins and filling hoppers. It saves them millions and millions of dollars because we know, of course, that they need those. They need the money, and they don't.
So what's the protocol from the casino with those leftover slips?
Yeah.
So that you're talking about the 75-25 split. So
yes.
At the end of a day or shift or whatever, they're all supposed to be collected and returned to the cashier where that money's counted up. Then
I guess. They know what change is missing and what change is not candidate after a certain period of time because after they expire, some expire in 30 days. Someone sent me a ticket that expired in 14 days. I couldn't believe it. So 30 days or 60 or 90 days, whatever it is, 180 days. And by the way, guys, so you guys know at home, we talked about this before. Talk about it again. Don't be one of those people that go around the casino looking for those tickets and taking them. That is technically robbery. You'll be 86 from the casino and maybe even trespassed if you do it multiple times.
Kelly and I knew a guy.
Oh, you guys said that.
We know a guy who did it, and we gently advised him maybe 1,000 times, you probably shouldn't do this. Wow. And finally, someone in the casino who actually took a kind way of doing it said, hey, knock it off.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I'll see you guys in a couple weeks then.
Yes, sir.
Are you back on the week after?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Back for good. Back for football, baby.
Cool.
Bill Krakenberger, everybody. At Bill Crackman with a K. Wisecracks is the name of the podcast. Always fun, Billy. Thank you.
Guys.
The great Bill Krakenberger. You'll know him from the Kangol. We've done all we can do. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.